Not the gentle Savior sitting on a rock with a lamb in his arms, you know, on the cover of your children's Bible, all right? Not that Jesus. Kind of a different Jesus, right? Last week we were talking about, and we saw very clearly in Scripture, that Jesus is actually the Creator. All these times when we read our Bibles, and we saw very clearly in Scripture, yes, that all things were made by Him. And for Him, and we saw it verse after verse after verse. And I think we've always had this feeling, or we've always had this thought, whenever we talk about God, we just use the word God, we always think in terms of God the Father. Whenever we read in the Old Testament about God, we often think of God the Father. And what we learned last week was that even from the very beginning, we saw that it was clearly Jesus identified as the Creator. And I think the way we get our heads around that is God sort of created all matter, but it was Jesus who put all that together. It was Jesus who formed the things that we see and formed even people. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit breathes into man the breath of life and so on. So that's kind of what we talked about last week. Now, tonight, we're going to move on from that. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to begin, actually, as we... And by the way, and I appreciate those of you that said, man, Pastor, that was a little deep. We just sort of dove right in. We just sort of jumped into the deep end of the pool, didn't we? And tonight's not quite so much of that. There's a lot of Scripture, but we're going to see some amazing things, I believe, because we're talking about this topic right here. Why Jesus? Why should I follow Jesus? Why should I follow Jesus? Why should I trust Him with my eternity? Why should I follow Him? And last week we talked about Him as Creator. Tonight, as you can see, we're going to talk about Jesus as the revealer, and we're going to kind of see what that, and there's a word for that, that's where we take that. So let's kind of get into this. We're going to actually go back to the book of Genesis in chapter number 2, and we're going to begin in verse number 2. Here we go. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. Now, that's just kind of the beginning of the second chapter of Genesis. We're sort of working our way through this. We're not tonight, but if you're reading in the Bible and you've sort of reading your way through this creation process. Now, what I want you to do, though, I want you to pay close attention to what it says here. On the seventh day, God. Yes, we've just been talking about that. So we know this from last week. We know that when it says God here, it's talking about Jesus as our Creator. We saw that in many other scriptures last week. Now, I want you to notice in the next verse we look at, just two verses later, I want you to look and see what is different about that. Here we go. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created on the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Say it again, Tom. Lord God. Nice and loud. Lord God. Notice there's a change here for the first time. Up until this, all through chapter 1, and God said, and God said, and God said. We come to chapter 2, verse 2 we read a minute ago, and it said, and God. But now for the first time, we actually have a change here. And notice it says, the Lord God. Now one of the things that's really amazing to me and that we're learning in this is that words actually really do matter. But how many of us are guilty of when we read the Bible, it doesn't matter if it says the Lord, if it says God, if it says Almighty, if it says the Creator. Basically, we view that all as the same thing, yes? We never really notice or think about that, is there a difference? Well, this is what we're going to begin with tonight, because we have this change and it says the Lord God. So what is this really all about? Well, let me kind of just explain very quickly. So first of all, when we saw the word God in verse 2, it was the Hebrew word Elohim. That's on your study guide there. The word Elohim, which means creator. All right, so when it was talking about, and that makes sense. And God said, all through chapter 1 and up into the second verse of chapter 2, it was talking about the creator God, Elohim. When we have this change in verse 4, however, we have this change to this. It says, Lord God. For us, it looks like we just added this kind of an odd little, all caps, smaller letters, word Lord. We'll talk about what that actually means here in a minute. But that actually is the Hebrew word Jehovah, which means revealer. Revealer. So what we're finding here between verse 2, we find the end of one work that Jesus was doing, and now we find him with a new name. God is saying there's a change. The change in name coincides with a change in his work. See, last week, what we talked about the whole time was how Jesus created everything. So much more than a Savior. Remember the point of this? He's so much more than a Savior. We've got to get away from only seeing Jesus from the baby in the manger to the Savior on the cross. That's just a 33-year period of time, so small in comparison to his eternal work. And so last week we looked at his creation work. This week we're going to be talking about this second part here, this Jehovah the Revealer. Now, what does that mean? This word revealer, we could also kind of see this work changing from creating something to sort of administrating something or managing something. You know, in fact, that's what we saw in that verse we read in verse 4 when he was talking about how he rested. That doesn't mean he sat down because he was exhausted. I think oftentimes we think that. We think, oh, the Bible says 7 days, you know, he worked for 6 days. Man, did he need a break. He had to, whew. No, God doesn't get tired, folks. The word rest, all that means is he had completed his creation work. Now it was time for him to take up his managerial work. Now it's time for his ongoing work of governing that which he had created. And that's kind of where we're at tonight. And part of what he's going to do is he's going to reveal some things all through the Old Testament, and that's what we're talking about. So from creator to revealer. Now let's continue then. So if we're going to look at Genesis chapter 2 then, with this new understanding, first of all, it's new to us to think about Jesus as creator, yes? So now let's think though, as we look through the scriptures, let's just kind of take a look at a few scriptures. So verse number 7 of this same chapter. Verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." So let me ask you a question. Who formed man of the dust of the ground? Jesus did. And that's what we talked about. God made the ground, or God made the elements of the ground, but Jesus formed man into the... Look at verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden." Who did that? Jesus did. Jesus, this talking about the same, it's the same thing. We laid the foundation for that last week. He planted a garden and he put man that he had formed in the garden. Now, here's the big one, though. Now, I just want to kind of prepare you for this. So let's skip ahead to chapter 3 and verse 8 of the book of Genesis. And notice this. And this is an amazing, beautiful passage. God is such an amazing God. When he gave us the Bible, I think once in a while he puts a little nugget. I am spitting everywhere, aren't I? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to stand right here. God puts some amazing little nuggets. Watch this as we think about, okay, what was it we saw that John chapter 1 called Jesus last week? When we look at John chapter 1, in the beginning was the word. Diane got it right. She was yawning when she said it. But in the beginning was the Word. Right? We talk about how Jesus was the expression of God, the Word of God. Notice the wording here. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden." Now, isn't that a remarkable thing? I think when we normally read that, we see it kind of the obvious way that they heard the voice of the Lord God who was walking in the garden. But boy, given everything we've talked about, we could actually just take the play on words I think that God has given to us here. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Yeah. You follow me?
Yeah.
Isn't it just an amazing, just a little nugget there that I think God does for us sometimes, because he is the voice of God, and God said, and so forth, and we saw that. So here's the question then. So when it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day," who is it talking about? Well, it's an obvious question. It's talking about Jesus. This is what we've seen over and over again. So what we're seeing here is that the creation story, here's the point. The creation story, and all the way through the Old Testament, the creation story is just the beginning of this. All the way through the Bible, we see that it has always been Jesus, the Son of God, who came to earth to interact with man. You follow me? We think of God. We think of God the Father. We always think of God the Father. As when it says, and you know, when we think about these stories about how God would come to earth and interacted with man, these stories we read about in the Old Testament don't really seem real to us because God doesn't come to us, right? right? Not physically? Okay, we're talking about physically now, okay? Anytime God physically came to earth in a physical form, it was always Jesus. It was always Jesus. And so that's what we see here from the very beginning. Now, please understand, let me take a little parenthesis here. The Holy Spirit, obviously we know that it's recorded in Scripture that the Holy Spirit came and many times would indwell the Old Testament figures that we read about. He would oftentimes indwell them. But it's not as it is today. Can anybody tell me what was different about the Holy Spirit's relationship with the Old Testament Jews and the figures that we read there that is different from us today? Okay, he was coming based on the law. In other words, if they were being a good boy, if God would selectively... Okay, can anybody tell me somebody that you remember reading that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon somebody? Anybody think of an example? Jacob. He wrestled with Jacob, didn't he? But when we think of that, that wasn't the Holy Spirit because that was a physical confrontation. That was actually Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit... Go ahead.
In the upper room.
Okay, in the upper room, yeah. And that would be still kind of... Well, that would be after the cross, so that would be technically New Testament.
Yeah.
So you're right. Samuel. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon Samuel and he would prophesy. Always, whenever a prophet would say, would give something, it was always because the Holy Spirit had come to them. How about Samson? You know, when the Bible would say the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson and he did some miraculous feat. But did the Holy Spirit stay in Samson?
No.
No, we know he didn't. You see, what was different in the Old Testament, what was different in the days that we're reading about now is that the Holy Spirit would come, but it was not a guarantee that the Holy Spirit would stay. Oftentimes, in fact, we saw that in the life of Saul, King Saul. The Holy Spirit came to Saul when he was anointed king, and he did amazing works. But we know that there were some particular instances of sin that caused the Holy Spirit to leave King Saul. And so there was a concern about that. So again, it was a little bit different for David. And we know that David was afraid of that because David, in his prayer in Psalm 51, after his sin with Bathsheba, if you remember, he said, "Please take not thy Holy Spirit from me." He knew that his sin deserved the Holy Spirit to leave him. Now, let me say, to round out this parenthetical discussion, that is not the case with you and me. That is not the case in a New Testament, the New Covenant. The Bible says when we're told in Scripture, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," that is the Holy Spirit that is never going to leave us. If you are a child of God, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and will never leave you. We have that promise. They didn't have that promise.
Hallelujah.
Now, hallelujah. Thank you. That's exactly right. Now, time back in. So what are we talking about here? The point was, all through the Old Testament, anytime there was a physical manifestation of God, it was always Jesus who did that. Jesus was building a bridge from man to God. Even in the Old Testament. Now, we don't think... Is that your phone, Julie? I hope you brought your checkbook. So watch. Please don't miss this because we... Again, it's so important for us to remember. Let's be honest. God the Father seems like such a distant God, doesn't He?
Yes.
We don't feel like we really relate to God the Father. And God knew that. And the Old Testament characters didn't either. What they missed, sadly, and we're going to talk about this in a little while, but what they missed, sadly, was the fact that Jesus was actually building a bridge, even all through the Old Testament, from man to God. They just didn't know it. And it's no wonder they didn't know it, because we have the whole Bible and we read it, and we didn't know it until we started studying this. So let's get into that as we get back to our story then. So when we're talking about Jesus' role then, so here's our topic for tonight. Here's what we're going to learn tonight. We're going to talk about what did Jesus do? What was His work from creation until His incarnation, until He was born as a baby? What did He do during that period of time. And by the way, that covers 99% of the Old Testament. I mean, after Genesis 2, verse 4, we're talking about all the way through the end of the Old Testament. Let's be honest, we never think about Jesus. Do we?
Yeah, right.
We never think about Jesus. In the Old Testament, if we're reading the Old Testament, we don't think about Jesus, and we don't talk about that. And they didn't get it either. So let's kind of get into that now. So let's, all right, so here we go. So let's notice. Let's go to Genesis chapter 32. Dave, you mentioned Jacob. Great, great story. If you're not familiar with the story, let me very quickly give you the backstory. So Jacob and Esau were the two sons of Isaac. And Jacob is actually the son who will get a name change here in just a few minutes. In just a few minutes, he's going to wrestle with Jesus. And when he does so, he's going to get his name changed to Israel. So Jacob is on the run, though. When we pick up the reading here, Jacob is on the run from his brother Esau. He is out in the wilderness, and Jesus came to him and renewed the covenant. Jesus comes to Jacob, and he says, I'm going to honor the covenant that I made with your grandfather Abraham. The same thing that was promised to him is now being promised to you. I'll make a great nation out of you. I'll all those things that we talked about. And so Jacob wrestled with him, physically wrestled with him. Now, how do we know it was a physical wrestling, not a spiritual? Touched his thigh, and what happened? Made him crippled, yeah. And we don't really know what. I don't know if he knocked it out of socket or if he just, but somehow he touched his thigh, touched him probably in the hip area, and Jacob limped for the rest of his life. It was a sign that God gave to him to say, don't mess with me, boy. You're way out of your league, man. No, he gave Jacob credit for wrestling with him all night, not letting go. Jacob said, I won't let you go until you give me a blessing. And so he did. But we know that it was a physical thing. And that's why we know that Jesus is talking about it. Here's the part I want to show you. Here's the part that we rarely pay attention to. Notice he said, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Why did he feel compelled to name the place? Which, by the way, means facing God. It means seeing God's face. Watch what he said. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to us, but what we see here is Jacob was scared. He was concerned. He said, I have seen God face to face, and what I don't understand is why am I still alive? Now, why would Jacob be afraid that because he had seen God face to face physically, why was he so surprised that he was still alive? Well, actually, that is something that is a part of the Hebrew understanding and part of their teaching, the traditions passed down. He is not the only one to feel this way. Let's take a look in the book of Judges. Look at the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 22. Gideon, you heard of Gideon, yes? Great man of faith, yes? Watch Gideon's reaction when he sees, and we'll see the Lord here, and we know this is talking about Jesus because we saw that all the way through. So Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, and Gideon said, alas, O Lord God. You see that? So he's talking about which one? Elohim or Jehovah? Jehovah. He said, alas, O Lord God, he's scared. For because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, hey, peace be unto you. Don't be afraid. You're not going to die. But do you see how Gideon was afraid he was going to die? Why? Because he saw. Yeah, go ahead, Linda. It does say that. Who said that? Do you know? Well, hang on to that. We're going to find out here in just a little bit. It does say that. You see, the Jews, they had been taught, and it was true. Nobody can see God. Wait, time out. Which God? Which person of God can they not see? That's what we're going to get to. Which person of God can they not see face to face? There's a difference, and this is why we're talking about Jesus. Okay, and this is why we're delving into this so difficult concept of the difference between Jesus and God the Father. Yes, they're one, but they're not the same. And one of the ways we're going to see that is you can't look at God the Father in the face. There had to be something else come along. So we see this. So these are just Old Testament characters who were terrified because they saw God and they thought they were going to die. You mentioned Samson, didn't you, Rob? Oh, you mentioned Samson. I mentioned Samson. I knew it was a good idea. So so take a look at the... So Samson was called to be a judge. He was called to be this powerful man. And it was Jesus, and again, they call it an angel, but it was Jesus, this pre-incarnate Jesus, means before he was born, that came to his mother and father. Watch what his father said in Judges chapter 13 and verse 22. And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die." Why? Because we've seen God. So here's the deal. It is true that if they saw God, they would die. Do you remember up on the mountain when the smoke came down on the mountain, the stories in the Old Testament, we read about how the Israelites, and God said, "Hey, don't even step foot on that mountain." Yeah. See, there's some things about God that God was very protective. And one of the things they understood was, we can't see God face to face or we'll die. And they're not understanding. Watch, here's the point. Gideon didn't understand why he didn't die. Jacob didn't understand why he didn't die. Manoah doesn't understand why he and his wife aren't both dead, because they knew you can't see God and live. So let's continue. In fact, let's take a look at the verse. Look at Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20. Here's what God said, Linda. "And he said, 'You cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live.'" Now wait. So what we got here is we've got God saying, "You cannot see my face and live." But in this same book, this same chapter, would you take a look at verse number 11? The Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks unto his friend. Now what do we do with that? Because Moses spoke to him face to face. Moses spoke to God to the Lord, the same way. You got me, didn't you, Billy? Spoke to the Lord the same way I'm speaking to Sherry. Face to face, like friends. We're friends, right? Sure we are. Like a man speaks to his friend. And yet, just a few verses later, God says, "You can't see my face or you're going to die." Did Moses die, yes or no?
No.
So does the Bible have errors in it?
No.
Nope. So it must not be the same person of God. Yes? You follow me? You see, because man has never been able to see God the Father. In fact, we're going to find out that Jesus says, "You know what? You actually never have seen God the Father. But you've seen somebody really close." We're going to see that here in just a little bit. So let's continue on then. So what we have here is that they could not see the Father and live. Now let's go to John chapter 1. Again, remember, we're asking the question tonight, what was Jesus doing from creation? When he finished the creative process, what did he do until he was born as a baby? Did we ever wonder about that? We just don't think about it very often, do we? Because we only see Jesus as this baby or this man on a cross. That's kind of how we see him. We see him as a baby being rocked at Christmas time, and then we see him as this Savior, and once in a while we'll think about him in the future, but we never give much thought to what was he doing the whole Old Testament. What was he doing when Abraham was running around? Where was he with Noah? What was he doing with Jonah? What was he doing when all those guys, all these stories we read about in the Old Testament, what was Jesus doing? Well, what we're finding is he was very busy coming to man. He was coming and interacting with man over and over and over. Can I give you a little hint of the whole topic tonight? He was trying to reveal himself. He was trying to say, "I'm here. I'm here." They were looking for a Messiah. And he kept coming to them over and over and over saying, "I'm right here, Keith. I'm right here." That's why you're not dead. If I were my father, you'd be dead. Because you can't see. But they didn't put it all together. So let's continue as we put it together here. John chapter 1, verse 18. Here we go. So Jesus now is being talked about here by John. And he writes this, no man has seen God at any time. Now wait, see, we're back to this thing where it just says God, and we just keep reading, right? Come on. Yeah. We just read, don't we? We just read. We don't stop to ask ourselves, well, which God? Well, there's only one God, and there is only one God. But there's three persons of God. Which one are we talking about? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So now, if we're going to ask ourselves which person of God is being talked about here, John helps us by not confusing Jesus and the Father, because he says, no one has seen God, but we have seen the begotten Son. Right? So he's drawn a distinction there. So we know he's talking about God. He says, you haven't seen God, but we have seen his only begotten Son. And so let's back up. Look at the verse preceding that. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, so he's going back in time now, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Remember last week we looked at even the word Christ and how important it was? So, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In other words, So let me ask you a question. Was there any grace in the Old Testament? Sure there was. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says. Grace means God being very, very merciful beyond what people deserve. So may I ask you again, was there grace in the Old Testament? Sure there was. How about truth? Was there any truth in the Old Testament? Did the prophets know any truth? So who gave it to them? Jesus did. See, again, we read this verse as if it's talking about when Jesus was born in the flesh, but it's not. It always came by him. When it came to Abraham, it was through Jesus. When grace and truth came to Noah, it was through Jesus. When grace and truth came to David, it was through Jesus. He was there the whole time. We just never saw it. We don't even see it when we read the Old Testament because we're not programmed that way. All right, so let's go ahead. Good question. Sometimes we call that a Christophany, an Old Testament physical representation of Jesus. But anytime it said, for example, remember when Abraham was standing outside Sodom and Gomorrah? I talked about this on Sunday. Abraham is standing there and this angel of the Lord comes and says, I'm going to destroy those cities. And remember, Abraham pleaded with him. So yeah, there was Jesus in some kind of a flesh, and he negotiated with Abraham. A beautiful story, beautiful story. And what we're seeing is it was always Jesus doing that. It was never God the Father, because man can't see God the Father, or he dies.
But it wasn't always. Right?
Not always in the flesh, no, but we're talking about, but that's kind of what we're talking about, this pattern here. Many times the Holy Spirit might have, but we're talking about Jesus here. All right, so let's continue on here. So look at John chapter 6 and verse 45 then. So now Jesus is talking, and watch what he says here. As is written in the prophets. Now again, let's remember, so Jesus is quoting Old Testament prophets who did not recognize him when he came to them. You follow? Here's what he said they wrote. They shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard of the Father, cometh to me. In other words, he said, if you want to come to the Father, you have to come to me first. You've got to come through me. Jesus was saying, you can't just go to heaven. Can anybody just leave here and go up to God's throne? Of course not. Of course not. He said, if you want to know who the Father is, you've got to learn who the Father is through me, because I'm the one you can relate to. I'm the one who has always been coming to earth to reveal God to man. Isn't it a beautiful thing? It's an amazing thing. He's not done. Jesus is still going. Verse 46. He said, not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. Now he's talking about himself, yes? He has seen the Father. So in other words, he's saying, I've seen the Father, but Herman, you haven't seen the Father. Why hasn't Herman seen the Father? How do we know Herman hasn't seen the Father? Because he's still alive. He's still alive. He'd be dead. He'd be dead if he saw the Father. And there's going to be some other scriptures. We're getting ready to read some scriptures that we all quote all the time, and it's all going to sort of come together in a remarkable way. So just kind of hang on. So John chapter 14. Doesn't this passage then take on a whole new significance now? Jesus is talking to his disciples, John chapter 14, verse number 4, and watch what he says here. He says, whither I go, you know. He said, in other words, you know where I'm going to go, and the way you know. Now time out. What's he talking about? He said, look, I'm going to go somewhere. He's predicting when he goes back to heaven. He said, you know the way there. He said, you know the way to the Father. Now watch what Thomas says. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Right? And so Jesus says, Thomas, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now watch, he said, look, I am the only way for you to get to the Father. He said, I'm the only way for you to get. Now, Jesus isn't being arrogant here. He's God. He can't be arrogant because he's God. Everything he says is true. It ain't bragging if you can do it, right? Isn't that what they say? But he's not being that way at all. What he's saying is, I am the way. You know the way because you're looking at me. I've been here from creation. From the day of creation, I've been revealing myself to man. He said, I am the way. Now you can see me. They couldn't see me because I came to them in a different way. See, Noah couldn't see me. He heard me, but he couldn't see me because I didn't look like this. Abraham couldn't see me. I looked like something else. This person couldn't see. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So watch. He's saying, look, I am the way to God the Father because I brought truth to you, and you'll survive seeing the Father because I am the life. He said, the only way to get to the Father is through me. Look, can I ask you a question? Who's he talking to here? It's good for everybody, but specifically, who's he talking to? Thomas. What nationality is Thomas? He's a Jew. Everybody Jesus talked to, for the most part, they were Jews. So what he was saying was, I am to you Jews, I am still the only way to the Father. And they thought this was something new. That's why they killed him. They thought he was teaching heresy. What they didn't know was he'd been telling them that for thousands of years. Just not in the exact form that he stood in front of them now. So he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus was, is, and will always be the only way to the Father, even to the Jews. They just didn't know it. They missed it. They didn't get it. They couldn't see it. And there's reasons for that. But so when you think about this, so when we read our Old Testament, when we read all the way through the Old Testament, every time Jesus is revealing himself the entire time, all the way through the Old Testament. And the Jews couldn't see it. Now, in a way, isn't that incredibly sad? It's incredibly sad. And it was right in front of them the whole time. For example, what is the most famous thing that David ever said, ever wrote down? It's read at every funeral. It's right after Jesus wept and right after John 3:16, whenever a child is being asked, is going to get a piece of candy for memorizing a Bible verse, what does he memorize? The Lord is my
shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Everybody memorizes the 23rd Psalm, yes? Everybody makes cross stitches out of the 23rd Psalm, hangs it on their wall. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Isn't that amazing that Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd"? John chapter 10. You see, it was right there. I mean, he's saying the same thing that David said. You know, Abraham was told by Jesus, "Take your son Isaac up on a mountain and sacrifice him." Remember the story? We've talked about this. And he took Isaac up there, and Isaac's got the wood on his back. And Abraham didn't know that Isaac was a picture of Jesus carrying that cross. Isaac had the wood on his back, and they got up to the top. And remember, this is Jesus telling him to kill his son, and it was Jesus who stopped him from killing his son. And then Abraham, in a moment of clarity, uncommon in the Old Testament, you know what he said? Remember what he said in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 8? On the very mountain that Jesus would die several thousand years later, remember what he said? Abraham said, "My son, God will provide..." God will provide himself. Who's the God here? God the Father? Nope. It's Jesus. This is a first... He's speaking about Jesus in the first person. Jesus will provide himself. You see, it was there all along, and the Jews missed it. He'll be the Lamb himself. It's there all along. Maybe the most astounding thing, though, where Jesus tried to reveal this whole system to his people. Remember, the Jews were all about visual. They needed something visual to follow. He gave them sacrifices because they needed to see something. Well, the greatest thing he ever gave them to show who he really is and what this whole system's all about was the Old Testament tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle had three parts. There was the outer court, and then there was the inner court where the sacrifices took place. That was called the holy place. And then there was that one innermost part, that one special part behind the veil where nobody could go, or they would die. That's where God met. Only one person could go in there. Yes? That was called the Holy of Holies, or the holiest place. The Holy of Holies, that's where the mercy seat was. Remember, only one person could go in there. Who was that? The high priest. The high priest. Not any priest. Only one. One high priest. Remember, they used to tie a rope to their foot in case they went in there and they were not clean enough and they would die and they'd had to be able to pull them out. That was how significant this place was. This place back in this Holy of Holies, where only one man could go, the high priest, this was a picture that Jesus was trying to give the Old Testament Jews of everything we're talking about tonight. You can't see God the Father. Man cannot see. Only one person has seen God the Father. Who is that? According to Jesus, it was Jesus. And do you know the book of Hebrews talks about how he is our great high priest? See? He is our great high priest. And so, we have this picture that he gave to them in so many, and look, we could talk about Passover, we could talk about all through the Old Testament, we get every Old Testament story that we read. I hope you'll never read the Old Testament again the same way. I hope we'll never again read and skip over whether it says God or the, you know, Lord God or, you know, all those kind of things. We ought to realize there's a significance in what God is saying here. And so the point is, Jesus was revealing himself over and over and over and over. Now watch as we wrap this up. But there came a time. Jesus had shown them the tabernacle, Passover, the ark, Jonah, all the prophets, all the stories, all the sacrifices, all these things that pictured that Jesus was there all along as their mediator. By the way, isn't that what Titus says? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. He was there all along showing them these pictures, but they didn't get it. And so about 4,000 years after his creator role, Jesus says, they're not getting it with the symbols, the symbolic stuff. They're not getting the pictures, the types. They're not seeing it in the stories. They're not seeing it in the tabernacle. They're not seeing me. Jesus said, they're not seeing me as their way to the Father. And so he had one last opportunity. And he said, I will have to become like them. I'll just have to come down and take the form of a man so that they could see me, touch me, hear me, eat with me. And so we find that description in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here we go. Watch this. Who being in the form of God, he was God, yes? Fully God. Thought it not robbery to be equal to God. In other words, he said it's doing no disservice to God the Father by calling himself equal with God, because he was equal with God, yes? And he's the creator. Continue, verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Now, time out. Isn't that an amazing thing when you think about how we've come full circle? Jesus made himself in the likeness of men because man didn't get what God said back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 when he said, I made you in our likeness. He said, because you just couldn't get it. Man just couldn't get it. He said, let us make man in our image, in the likeness of God. Right? But man didn't get it. So Jesus said, okay, since you can't seem to understand what it means to be in my likeness, I will become in your likeness so that you can see me, touch me, feel me, hear me, walk with me, talk with me, eat with me, sleep, live with me, walk with me for 3 years. In the likeness of man, verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, can I ask you a question? Can this not take on a little more significance now when we think, I think often we read this verse and we think, yeah, you know, it was pretty cool because, you know, Jesus was sitting up in heaven doing nothing. He's just sitting up there by his Father. And one day he just left and came down and lived as a baby. No. He'd been here the whole time. He'd been on earth so many times, revealing himself over and over and over. He was the creator God who humbled himself. Again, let's all be honest for a minute. Let's be super honest for a minute. We all grasp. We get a hold of and we kind of have our heads wrapped around Jesus leaving his deity to become like a man. But there's not a one of us probably that would ever think that his Father would do that, yes? We don't see God the Father as leaving and humbling himself as a man, do we?
No.
Jesus is just as much God as his Father. So when it says he humbled himself, he came from way, way, way up there to come down to be with us. Because we couldn't see God any other way. So he humbled himself. So we've seen the creator Jesus, Elohim. We saw tonight the revealer Jesus as he revealed himself as Jehovah. His work from creation to his incarnation. And next week we will take a new look, and I hope it's a new look, at the incarnate Jesus. A little different look at what exactly did Jesus do while he walked this earth.